Yeah, because I had some problems with audio just now. I think it should be much better now. Okay, good. Well, before we hear about the history of FCM, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this time where the FCMers can have this spiritual retreat. And now, O Lord, as we consider the good heritage which you have given to the fundamental Christian ministry, may thou, O Lord, through thy precious word, also lead and direct us with regards to the lessons that we can learn from her history as well as the future ahead. So we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 7, verse 1 is the classic passage on biblical separation. This is a passage which many today do not like and would regard as a sour passage because it teaches on how we ought to separate from sin, falsehood, and idolatry. It is the very nature of men to want to compromise, to want to rebel against the Lord. And so when things like this are preached to men, they do not like it. Oh, why do I need to embrace righteousness? Why do I need to embrace truth? Why do I need to embrace holiness? I like to call myself a Christian, but also have my ways steeped in the world. And so down here, Paul had to remind the Corinthian Christians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? And all these questions demand the answer, no. Right? There is no agreement, no communion, no fellowship between that which is right and that which is not right. There is definitely no communion between light and darkness. Once there is light, the darkness flees. There is definitely no agreement between Christ and the devil. And so therefore, with regards to Christians, yes, there must also be this whole concept, whole practice, whole conviction of biblical separation. And here it is used especially with the Corinthian Christians who wanted to have business dealings with those in the world. And one of the things that you needed to do in those days, if you want to get a contract going, is to have a meal together with the unbelievers. But sometimes these meals that you have involves eating food offered to idols. And so the Apostle Paul here have to tell them, look, this cannot be. Make sure that there is no such compromise in your life. Come out from among them, among all those who practice such things. Come out from among all those who are unbelievers or compromised with the faith. Do not touch anything that is unclean. And the promise down here is that, you know, if you cleanse yourself from all this filthiness, well, the Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. Now, why start with such a passage when we deal with the history of FCM? Because this really is the fundamental principle, right, pun intended, of the fundamental Christian ministry. Now, how many of you know when was FCM founded? Anybody know? No.
Well, for your reference, Clement, could you turn the volume a bit higher? Some people
still, higher,
still find it a bit high. Okay.
Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me now? Is it much better?
Way better. Thank you.
Okay. There is... Okay, is it much better now? I have some problems with the audio today. Okay, good. Now, how many of you know when was FCM founded? No? Well, even I myself also lost track of the date. But I have down here a valuable archive. I'm not sure anybody have seen this book before. Have you seen this book before? Some of you have seen this book before. Okay. How about especially those? Is it uploaded on the Calvary Pandan website? I was trying to find the soft copy. I don't think it's uploaded. I wonder if anybody have the soft copy. If any of you can find the soft copy of this, better grab the soft copy and ask Calvary Pandan to archive, because I think a number of copies of this book is lost already. It's fast running low. This was down here 25 years. I hope you all can see. Can you see clearly? Right, 25 years of Providence. And then the date down there, 1986 to 2011. Now it's 2020. So this book is 9 years old. I joined FCM around 2002. And so right now my involvement with FCM would be, wow, almost close to 18 years. Time flies. So I did not consider this until when I was approached to do this topic. And suddenly realized, wow, 18 years, how time flies. It seems like not long ago, right, I was in FCM. Then when I took out this book and then I flipped, then I realized, wow, some of these pictures down here, my friends look very different already, and they are all yellow kind of pictures. So our time has passed rather fast. In 2011, FCM was 25 years old. So you may guess that FCM was founded in 1986. And the best way to know the history of FCM is to go to archives such as this, and then to find out what was written. For me, well, I am actually only qualified to talk about the history of FCM from my time until today. To know really the history of FCM, we have to go back all the way to the one who first found FCM. And the one who really first found FCM was none other than Dr. To Xiang Hua. And this is very appropriate, because right now I believe FCM is under Calvary Pandan BP Church, and Dr. To Xiang Hua is the founding pastor of Calvary Pandan BP Church. During those days when I was in FCM, it was passed over for a time to Calvary Tengah, but all along it has been under the care of the Calvary group of churches. And so allow me to read for you from this book, very nicely prepared, and in color. And down here I have what Dr. To wrote about the founding of FCM. And this will give you a better idea why we need FCM and what is the spirit that FCM should have. So this is what Dr. To says, right? When I first entered the portals of the King Edward VII College of Medicine in 1947, seeking to learn medicine, surgery, obstetrics, and gynecology, I heard of the student Christian movement. So one day, afternoon, I joined some other students going to a meeting of the SCM. So it was called SCM. And from this SCM, according to what he has written here, grew the desire to form a larger fellowship group, and this eventually led to the formation of the Varsity Christian Fellowship. And the Varsity Christian Fellowship was founded with the help of the ONF, that is the Overseas Mission Fellowship. And so it was started first with a group of 7 to 10 students. And Dr. To was actually one of the first few founding participants of this VCF. So if you look at VCF today, I believe quite a few of you have VCF in your campus, right? I definitely NUS must have, because Dr. Toh was in NUS. How about NTU? Is VCF in NTU? How many? Who here is from NTU? Andronicus, is there a VCF there?
I don't think so.
Oh, no VCF in the NTU. So NTU has a Campus Crusade, is it?
Campus Crusade we have. Yeah.
Campus Crusade, yes. And Navigators? Is there Navigators?
I'm actually not sure.
Not sure? Okay. Yeah but at least Campus Crusade is there. Campus Crusade is quite a big parachurch group. VCF, I believe, is in Singapore at least, right, is quite close, right, to the size also of Campus Crusade. So if you go to NUS, so those of you in NUS, if you have heard of this group called the VCF, actually Dr. Toh was involved in the VCF from the beginning. And so he was very active there until in 1952, right? In 1953, he completed his medical studies and then he left the university. Oh, so, wow, that is go very far back in history already, right? So 1953, he left NUS. And then, for a period of time, was not so involved in VCF. Then, some 25 years later, he was invited to speak at a meeting of the VCF. And then, when he was speaking at the meeting of the VCF, he realized that a charismatic spirit had crept in, despite the growth in size of the VCF. At the time, VCF, or the group that he spoke to, had about 150. But he became quite uncomfortable because he discerned that charismatism had made inroads into the group. And then further inquiry by him, right, revealed that he had grown social and modernistic. Now, what do we mean by social and modernistic? Social would mean that he embraced the social gospel. So instead of focusing on the gospel that is preached in the Bible, there is more focus on doing good in society. So doing charitable work, involving in the welfare groups, and then the true gospel, right, second. So that is what you find creeping into the VCF. And then modernistic is even worse, because modernism would involve the denier of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. So this was the spirit that had already crept in. Yeah, of course, you may say that not everyone in VCF had the kind of spirit, but certainly it was there already. And so he became very concerned, and then he brought up this issue to the board of elders in Kauri Pandan. And the concern was that, if our young people, I continue to attend VCF, and it's a very natural thing for the young people to attend VCF, because once you are in universities, and sometimes young people, they would stay in the hostels there, and of course young people, when they go to school, they will meet with their friends, and their friends may come from VCF, so naturally, right, they would also be invited to attend the meetings of the VCF. Then there is every opportunity for this modernistic, charismatic spirit to tear the young people, right, away from the truth of the Holy Scriptures. And of course, when we talk about biblical separation, we also talk about association. Because by this time, many of the members in the VCF, they actually come from churches which promote ecumenism. And the leaders who are running it, also there are quite a number that have that come from churches that are involved in the ecumenical movement. Right? They belong to the National Council of Churches, right, in Singapore. And by the name already, you know that there is compromise, right? Because the association is called National Council of Churches, not National Council of Christian Churches. Right? So, right, therein is the warning, right? The word Christian is already removed, right? Right, because the aim of the, because it belongs to her parent, right? The WCC, and the WCC is ecumenical in terms of nature. The final aim is to unite, right, together with Rome. And so, therefore, Dr. Toh became very worried, and the decision was made to form a conservative, fundamental students group, right? Right, so that the young people, right, can, especially in Bible Presbyterian churches, can have fellowship one with another around God's word, right, with good biblical and faithful teaching. Right, that is the whole idea. Right, so let the Bible Presbyterian churches, right, come together, have a fellowship with one another, receive good teaching, right, instead of that which is false. And so that is how the FCM began. And when the FCM began, it actually began as FCF. Right, and so down here, I'm very thankful, right, that there is this history of historical timeline also in this book. So maybe I would like to urge the student coordinators to go and hunt down the soft copy of this. Right, it's very good. You have the historical timeline from here. Maybe the person to find is Jason Liu. I don't know whether Jason Liu. How many of you know Jason Liu? He was the one that was heavily involved in the compilation of this book. Credit must go to him. I think there are probably one or a few historical mistakes down here, but by and large, most of the data here is correct. And here, if you read, right, it was founded actually in February of 1986. Right? Or rather, no, not February 1986, rather, July 28th, right? The Fundamental Christian Fellowship was formed. And he spoke, right, Dr. Toh spoke to over 100 university staff and students. Right, the time was called Fundamental Christian Fellowship. And guess who was the first teacher? And guess who was the first teacher in the FCM? Right, the first teacher in FCF, he was invited by Elder Koh, and he's none other than Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew. Right. So Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew was one of the was the first teacher there. After that, joined also by some familiar names like Dr. Jeffrey Koo, Reverend Stephen Koo. Yeah, you know them. Right, you all know them. And so they began their meeting in groups, having this kind of Bible study. And when the FCF changed its name to FCM. Well, based upon this historical timeline, it's not officially stated, but from what I see, somewhere around 1989. So, took about 3 years, right, from 1986 to 1989, and then there was this change in name from fellowship to ministry. Now, the reason for this is not stated here, so maybe you'll need to ask Reverend Quack why there was this change. But my guess is this, right, is to differentiate the FCM from other parachurch groups like the Navigators, the VCF, and the Campus Crusade. And how does this name differentiate us from them? Well, because they are parachurch group, but FCM is not a parachurch group. This is what you all must understand. FCM is not a parachurch group. It is a ministry of Calvary Pandan right now, right? At least right now. Then also Calvary Pandan. After that, a ministry of Calvary Tengah. And then now again, right? Calvary Pandan. So this is the very, very important detail. When you talk about a parachurch group, you're talking about an organization that is independent of any church governance. Right? It exists by itself, it has its own rules, it has its own pattern of governance, and it exists to go alongside the church, to help the church in terms of her growth and witness, right, to the world. That is what a para-church group is all about. That's why you have the word para, right? Para comes from parallel. Run alongside the church, right, to help the church. And that's what a para-church group is supposed to do. But FCM is not a para-church group. The one who decides how FCM is to be run is Calvary Pandan PP Church. And that is why all of us who are in the teaching ministry in FCM, we have to subscribe, right, to a statement that we agree to the body of doctrine that is ascribed by Calvary Pandan BP Church. So that is a very, very important detail. Do not miss that out, because I believe later on there will be one question that that talks about why FCM is not registered, right? I will deal with it later. Okay, this is a very, very important detail. And so that FCM continued running, slowly it grew, right, from NUS. After that, it involves places like NTU, the poly groups, and it lasted, right, by the grace of God, right, all the way until now. During those days, right, it has seen quite a few upheavals, and one of the greatest upheavals will be the time where the VPP controversy arose. Before the VPP controversy, though, was the controversy on hyper-Calvinism. Now, I wasn't part of that group, but I believe quite a number of FCMers before me, right, would be involved in that particular controversy. And they had this debate among themselves, and yeah, there was also this earnestly contending of the faith even among the student body. That's the very interesting thing. I believe right now in FCM, you are having quite a relative period of peace, right? Are you fighting among yourselves? I hope not. All seem very happy, very cheerful. I see smiling faces down here. I hope you all are making good friends and provoking one another in the love and admonition of the Lord. But you have to understand that in the history of SCM, it is not like this. There were actually many times where among the students, we had to encourage as well as admonish one another, and that we also had to rise up for the truth, right, against those who seek to go otherwise. And this is not strange, because remember, FCM is a ministry of the Bible Presbyterian Church. It is largely Bible Presbyterian, and so therefore you would expect all these controversies to come in. But one thing I would like to encourage everyone is this, is not to be afraid of controversies, because controversies are actually good in the sense that it helps us to sharpen our doctrine, to sharpen what we need to know, right, concerning the faith. And so, for example, right, out of the VPP controversy, the FCMers became, right, at least for that particular batch, became very convicted, right, concerning this particular doctrine. And you will find that out of it resulted some practices, right, that will help to guard FCM from, right, from all the various teachings that are against, right, the verbal plenary inspiration as well as the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. And one of those things that came out of the controversy would be how the teachers in FCM must take the Dienbergen Oath. And then you will realize that all of you who are student coordinators, you are also required to take an oath, right? That's a student coordinator's oath. I believe it's still the same one that I have here, right? in this book, right? By the way, you all know the SCM motto? My campus, my mission field? No. Okay. Right, and then down here, oh, I think this is not the student coordinators of, okay, but they have some objectives, right, down here, right, in this book. Now, all these objectives are objectives that have been refined through the ages, right, has been refined through the ages. And, but instead of reading this, I would like to also highlight to you what Dr. Jeffrey Koo, right, the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, has said. And we have to value what he says because he was also from there, he was also there from the very beginning. Right. Now, so this is what is written, and I pray that when we read this, we will also examine how FCM is being run right now and whether or not it is according to its original purpose. And so this is what it says. The FCM was founded in 1986. Although pioneered by students from Bible Presbyterian churches, it was meant to be an interdenominational student fellowship. So take note of this, okay? It's meant to be an interdenominational student fellowship. So, FCM, although we firstly cater to those from BP churches, and especially like-minded BP churches, but our aim is not just to keep it within ourselves. Right? Our aim also was to reach out to others and then bring them to a good understanding of the truth. And so, I do not know whether right now in FCM, whether you have those from other churches joining, and if among here there are some of you from other churches, well, we are most happy to have you around. One of the times where I was most glad as FCM, you know, as one who facilitated the FCM Bible study, was the time when we had quite a number of people from other churches joining us for the FCM Nanyang Poly. I'm not sure whether Victoria was part of that group or she came later from that group. But for that particular group, we had half the number who came from other churches. We had about, I believe, about 12 that time in Nanyang Poly. So we had a bumper group. Somehow the Lord moved the hearts of the friends of the FCMers to come. And so we gathered, and then we had a study on the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Right. So that was one thing that happened, right, in the history of FCM Nanyang Poly. Also, one of the things I remembered was that during one of the FCM, is it retreat or camps? And there was one of our friends came in, and he was actually from the Assemblies of God. Now, how he came in is a very interesting account. In those days, one of the persons who was involved in the FCM committee was very zealous in promoting the FCM camp. Now, please do not follow this example. Remember, biblical separation, so do not do this, but he was rather zealous, so he even went to Life Bookstore. Do you know about Life Bookstore? Yes? You have heard of Life Bookstore? So he went to Life Bookstore and he went to put a brochure there. Now, don't do this, okay? Because remember, is FCM is part of the Bible Presbyterian Church movement. We do not want any association with those who are new evangelicals or involved in the ecumenical movement. So do understand this. But nevertheless, right, for that particular time, the FCM brochure ended up there, right, the invitation to come for camp. And so one of these young men walked in. He was from Assembly of God, so he noticed there is this FCM camp being publicized, and he attended. And so he attended, and I remember there was one time whereby he was asked to pray, and he was asked to pray because I think the FCMers then thought that he was from a BP church, and then he was not from and they did not know that he was from the Assembly of God. So they invited him to pray in terms of, you know, take turns to pray, like one after the other. And then he felt very uncomfortable. I think he wanted to break out in tongues. In the end, he did not participate. And then it was passed on to another person. Then later on, we found out that he was from the Assemblies of God. And some of the FCMers, they came and then they talked to him. And then they shared with him why speaking in tongues, you know, was wrong. The errors of the charismatic movement, and they did so in a very gentle and very loving way. And that was how the brother was led to join the Bible Presbyterian Church. And till today, he is in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches. Now, I do not want to say who is he. In fact, later on when you all ask me, I will share some accounts, but do understand if I do not share the names or do not share the full details, because some of you may know who they are. Some of the teachers may even be, you know, involved the parents of your parents, right? I know some of your parents are FCMers. I see Lydia down here, right? Lydia is a, can't really see Lydia. Lydia has light at the background, right? Lydia, this is Lydia Chu, is Elder Chu's daughter, right? Correct? Yeah, Elder Chu was also involved in the FCM. Right, so some of you, your parents are involved in FCM. So if I talk some of the details, you may know. So I may not share all these things, but certain details like this, right, which I hope that the FCMers will learn. I pray that you all will take note of it. So this is one of the things, right, the original purpose of FCM. Yes, it is meant to be an interdenomination student fellowship, but run, of course, by students fully loyal to the fundamental teachings of Scripture. And, of course, the one that is overseeing the whole thing is the church, right? Not a parachurch organization. So please understand this. Number two, free from any linkage or association with the ecumenical movement and charismatic movement. So that is the second point. Third, to witness to fellow students the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. So there is also this evangelistic function whereby the FCMers will try to reach out to those who have not heard of Christ Jesus or who have not believed in him, and then to bring them to the FCM to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so during the history of FCM, you realize that there were gospel rallies that were conducted, and some were big rallies meaning the entire FCM group came together to conduct it. But later on in history, due to certain practical reasons, and later on, I will also talk about this, right? Because there are some questions here, right? So I will answer them, right? Due to certain practical considerations, so it was split up to individual FCM groups to conduct. And we will try to invite our friends in, and they would hear this good news being preached. So this is important. And I pray that we are also still actively involved in this gospel work. Of course, right now it's a little bit more difficult for all of you, because I think it's in the tertiary institutions, even if you do return to school, right now they still try to limit the number of physical lessons. I think it's still the case. So it may be harder to share the good news of Jesus Christ face to face with your friends, but if it is, if opportunity arises, well, we should be involved in it. So that is actually one of the functions of the FCM also. Then number four, to expose every false teaching. So take note, right? Not only is it to separate, right, from falsehood, from false movements, but it's also to be involved in exposing every false teaching like liberalism, modernism, new evangelicalism, charismaticism, ecumenism, and other false isms. Then interestingly, in verse 5, point 5, to unite all students in the strengthening of national solidarity and loyalty to our nation and country of Singapore. Well, that's something I find very interesting. But is it something that is contrary to the scriptures? No. Right? Because the Bible teaches us that we are to submit to our local authorities so long as what they tell us to do is not contrary to the Bible. And so actually this is very, very biblical. Right, and it's good for us to know this because right now in the world there are a lot of anti-government groups that have infiltrated Christian fellowships, and they encourage young people to create as much chaos and confusion against the establishment. And so you see Christian groups leading students to destroy property, to set things on fire. Right, to lead rebellions, right, that is not good. Okay, so take note of point 5. And lastly, point 6. To equip and help our members to become more effective witnesses in their own churches as true members of the Church of Jesus Christ. So in other words, FCM is also to be a platform of discipleship whereby young people are trained in the various disciplines that are found in the scriptures, and that they will mature in their faith, and God willing, in the future, they can also be leaders in their churches. And this is something that is very interesting, because if you look at many of our leaders now in the Bible Presbyterian churches, like-minded Bible Presbyterian churches, you will actually find quite a number who have been very, very, or who had been very, very active in the fundamental Christian ministry. Well, Elder Chu is one of them, right down here. And then there are others, right? In Kauri Pandan, there are quite a few. Some of them are my seniors, some of them are my contemporaries. I don't want to mention them. Right. But those that were with me in the FCM science group, I was from FCM science, I would like to mention, in fact, one thing that fills me with great joy is the number of my mates, my fellow Bible study mates who ended up going into the full-time ministry of in the FEBC, right, full-time ministry studies in FEBC, and are still serving the Lord very actively today. And who are these mates of mine? Well, of course, there is of course my wife was from the same FCM group, but then we have Preacher Colin Kang. Well, Preacher Colin Kang though was a little different because he did not go to NUS, and so when he was in FEBC, he was asked to be involved in teaching the FCM science group. So he came in by the time I was already on the way out. Or actually, was I out already? Yes, I was out already, but I joined in because I disrupted from National Service. So I went back to National Service, but during nights out, if it's possible, I tried to join the FCM science group. And because I was in Clementi camp, so I was able to take a bus down to join. So I was happy to join the FCM group, of course, also to see... then, of course, she was not my wife, but I wanted to see Mrs. Chu. I wanted to see my current wife. So two birds with one stone. Of course, the main purpose was not to see my wife. The main purpose was to study God's Word. So I took the opportunity to join also. So there was Preacher Colin Kang. And then there was also He Xiaowei, which is very soon is going to be married to Preacher Joshua Yong. Right? And of course, He Xiaowei will come with will come with a sister, and her sister is now in Gethsemane BP Church, married to one of the members there. I think Andronicus will know who it is. And then we have also Elin Chi, right? And Elin Chi, although she was supposed to be us at engineering site, but she very often also joined the science group because I think her two good friends were there, right? And the two twin sisters. And so, well, the three of them in the end entered the full-time studies in FEBC. So, well, that is the group that we have, a very happy group. And also, I believe other groups had many who became deacons and some also elders. So we praise the Lord for that. So you can see how FCM fulfills that function. And I believe that if we continue to be faithful to this spirit that is down here of what has all along been done in history, right, we will be very much blessed by the Lord to continue to fulfill this this purpose of training future leaders for the ministry. So this is very, very important, because when we talk about FCM, FCM is not meant to be a replacement for the church. One of the things we struggled during those days was that there were people who regarded FCM as a replacement for church prayer meetings, for church fellowship groups, and for service in the church. Now, we do not want FCM to become that way, because FCM is actually meant to help all the various BP churches in Singapore to grow up, right, future leaders, right, that will be faithful to God's word. So we always emphasize in those days to FCMers, you must always return to church and serve actively there. And so we pray that all of you will also be so. You'll come for FCM, yes, but do also be very active in serving the Lord, right, in your various churches, right, to be a blessing to the brethren there, because that is where the Lord has called you to be. Remember, the pattern of, you know, the pattern that is set in the Bible, that it is the church which guides missions and ministries, right? The church is the body that oversees all these ministries, and not the other way around, right? It shouldn't be various ministries, groups or organizations which draws people away from the church in replacement of the church. No, it should never be the case. It should be the church which oversees all the activities of that are ongoing, and that all these various ministries in the end must lead to the building up of the body of Christ. So take note of all these things, right, that is listed down here. And so, right, this would be a very brief history of the FCM. I pray that you would take this in heart, and especially this whole purpose that FCM is supposed was initially created to be a group that separates itself, right, from ecumenism, from liberalism, from neo-evangelicalism, from all these various inter-varsity groups. Because sadly, right now in the BP churches, there are many who preach otherwise. I've ever read of one article by a BP church which was actually quite antagonistic to this call not to join all these varsity groups and say, well, there's nothing wrong, go and join them. No, it is wrong. Because all these groups, they are associated with all these movements, and you know that as a Christian, you must abstain from all appearance of evil. You should not even be associated with all these false movements or be involved in promoting all these groups. And then when you go there, and then if you are not discerning, right, you may very well imbibe in the wrong doctrines and in the wrong practices. So understand why FCM was created, understand how things were set up, understand the various troubles that they had to go through where people had to earnestly contend for the faith. But through it, right, the FCM group actually grew, right, grew in the understanding of the scriptures, right, grew in their love for the Lord, and how that this also ought to continue even today. And we pray that we will have many more good years serving the Lord in the FCM. Right? So this is what I have. So let us pray first before we go on to the Q&A. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for this time where we can come to learn about the history of the FCM. And we pray, O Lord, that thou would even bless the FCM with many more good years of service for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, from the midst of these young people who are gathering to learn of thy word, that they may be built up in the most holy faith, that they may grow in their love for thee, and at the time that is appropriate, that they may also be involved in leading the church to fulfill thy will. For very soon, one generation will pass and another will come. Our prayer, O Lord, is that the Bible Presbyterian Church will continue to be faithful all the way till our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes. O Lord, be very merciful unto us and grant us the much needed grace to serve thee. So we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.